We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Some amazingly talented people, and I keep learning more and more about you. Most of you didn't know Jeremy is like a crazy artistic spray painter. He does crazy stuff like you wouldn't believe. I just love that. We've been talking about the good life. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm glad everybody's here. Glad to see you in the house of the Lord today. We've been talking about the good life. And when people are asked, what is the good life? What does it mean to live the good life? Far too many people, most people, end up thinking of an entirely different life. They start thinking about a different job, a different house, sometimes a different spouse. It's bad stuff. I mean, what is the good life? And they're picturing something completely different from their life. We think that is really sad. We think you ought to live your life like it's the good life. You don't really need to make a drastic set of changes to start living the good life. Usually, if we would just be aware of the good things around us and start celebrating them, start being thankful for them, we'd realize we're actually already living the good life. The good life is the life that comes from the good shepherd. John 10:10 through 11, this has been our memory verse for this month. Why don't you read it with me? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Amen. Week one, we talked about happiness and joy that is found in the life that the good shepherd gives. Newsflash, Christians should be happy. Christians should experience joy. Christians should smile. Christians should be known for smiles, not for signs that they hold up against other people hating them. That's what Christians should be known for. That's living the good life. By the way, does anybody believe that? You believe that? You believe Christians are not representing Christ by lifting up signs that says, God hates these people, God hates these people. If you agree with that, would you clap your hands? All right, I like that. When I throw out a phrase that somebody ought to get behind and y'all don't get behind it, it makes me worry. It's like, whoa, maybe we need to talk a little bit. All right, but y'all are with me. Week two, that was week one. Week number two, we talked about the blessing that is found in this good life through relationship, through inheritance, and through obedience. And this is the final week. We want you to know that the good life always has greater things to come. Greater things to come. Your life after Christ. We said this last week, but it really fits in this sermon so good. I had to use it again. Your life after Christ should be better than your life before Christ. Now, that really shouldn't be much of a revelation to us, but I've met so many Christians that they're like, well, I know Jesus, but it's just so hard in this world. And they're like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Your life after Christ should be way better than your life before Christ. And the world needs to meet some Christians who are living a full life, the life that Jesus was talking about in John 10:10. God has a way of bringing greater into our life. Your life before Christ, your life after Christ, it's greater. Christ has a way of bringing greater into our lives. He doesn't just do it one time, but he does it continually. He's continually bringing greater into your life. Far too often in Christianity, we hear something said to this tune. It goes a little bit like this. God did this great thing for me back in such and such year. You ever hear that? And maybe you've heard the one person say that over and over and over again. I remember I was raised in a church where they had old-time testimony services, and they have testimony service, and there was this one guy who would say the same thing ever, over and over and over again. And not that I wasn't thankful for his testimony, but I was like, dude, get a new testimony, because God does greater. Anybody with me? All right. All right, God saved that kid over and over again. All right, it's great, and you should always keep telling your testimonies. Don't get me wrong. You should tell your testimonies, but there is something wrong in your faith walk if you don't have any other testimonies. We have in pop music, we have one-hit wonders. Don't be a one-hit wonder Christian, right? Quick, one-hit wonder, sing it. Ice Ice Baby, that works, that's perfect. Thank you, Joseph Higgins. We've been missing you, man. All right. Y'all all were way slower. All right. There is something wrong if God hasn't been doing greater in your life. If you have to go back to 19 whatsoever to come up with the last time God did something great in your life, rethink this process, okay? Because something is wrong. The story of God doing greater in your life should include recent history. The story of God doing greater should never end. Right? 2 Corinthians 3 and 15. I'm going to read this passage together. Even to this day, when Moses is read, when the law of Moses, it's the Old Testament, is read, a veil covers their heart. Everyone said a veil. A veil covers their heart. Looking on, verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Verse 18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, I want to draw your attention to here, all right? That there is an ever-increasing glory. It's not a one-time glory. It's not a one-time back in a summer youth camp in 1985 where Carmen was at. Is Carmen? Carmen? All right. Striper. All right, I don't know. But it's not a one-time thing. It's an ever-increasing glory. Look at somebody, say, ever-increasing glory. Be friendly. Look at them. Maybe point at their face and be rude, like Mom said not to do. Right? We're looking around. All right. Remember when you first came to faith? Hopefully you remember that. If you've not come to faith, we'd love for that to happen today. But do you remember when you first came to faith? All right, good. You stepped into something greater, didn't you? That veil that was covering your heart was lifted away, just like 2 Corinthians 3:15 says. And that veil is taken away. Jesus has a way of bringing greater into your life. We're thankful for that faith moment. What a powerful moment it was. And that's the glory that 2 Corinthians is talking about. But it shouldn't stop there. If you just stopped with, well, now I'm a believer in Jesus. See you guys. Meet you in heaven. And you never like come back to church, or you never do anything for God, right? There's something wrong with that. Maybe you remember when you took your next step of repenting. Anybody remember when they took their next step of repenting? It's when you turned from your sin. You asked God to forgive you and you turned towards Jesus Christ. Hopefully you remember that. Turning from your sins, and you are set free from guilt. You're set free from shame. Sometimes there are chains like on our hearts and on our lives, and those are broken at repentance. Nothing could keep you from turning to Jesus Christ. And it was a glorious thing. Was that greater? Yeah. You bet it was. You just went from glory to glory, because there's an ever-increasing glory. You went from faith to repentance. And did it, what a shame that it stopped there. No, it better not stop there. Jesus doesn't stop there because you were baptized in the name of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And all your sins, the Bible says, were washed away. And you made a public declaration, totally unashamed, that you belong to Jesus. My friends, that's greater. You just went from glory, faith, to glory, repentance, to glory, baptism. It doesn't stop there. As great as all that was, God still has greater. He filled you with His Holy Spirit. And now God's power is living inside you. Yeah, yeah, check that out. God's power is living inside you. Jesus says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He says that in Matthew 28. And then in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, He says, you shall receive power. What power? Well, is there any power that He doesn't have? He's got all power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power of God can be inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Who thinks that sounds like greater? Does anyone think that sounds like it's greater? God starts talking to you and through you. And you actually have a direct pipeline to God. Because God isn't just beside you. He's not just around you. He's inside you. Do you get that? That's greater still. I want to tell you that that's such a powerful thing, because guess what? As good as it is to come to the house of the Lord and hear the preaching and hear someone else share their testimony, you can hear straight from God. And it's really powerful. There's some times in your life you need to know you can hear straight from God. There are times in your life where you don't have time to come run ask the preacher. There's not time to go call your mama. There, you need a word from God, and God can directly talk to you. Can I get a witness? Has anyone ever experienced that? You're looking at somebody, I've experienced that. I'm so thankful for that. But guess what? It doesn't just stop there. It goes on and on and on, just like that Journey song, Jonathan. That spirit starts working in your life. And guess what? You can't help it. You start ministering to others. You can't help it. You start getting convicted when you see people hurting. You can't help it. You're walking around and you're like, I think I should tell that person about Jesus. Where is this coming from? Ding dong, it's coming from the Holy Spirit. And you aren't just coming to church to be a ministered to anymore, but the Holy Spirit then starts ministering through you. It's a powerful thing. There are things that come out of you that you didn't even know that were there. You start talking to people about Jesus, and these scriptures start coming out, and it's like, whoa, I've never been able to quote scripture before ever. That was weird. How did that happen? Holy Spirit happened. Greater things happened. Jesus happened right then. That's what that is. Maybe, I mean, some radical things. Maybe some Book of Acts things happen where you pray for somebody and they get healed. That happens. It's happened here. It's happened in my living room. Scott was sick one day. We were at a connect group. We just stopped connect group and said, hey, everybody, Scott's sick. Why don't we all just point your hands to him and just pray a simple prayer for him? And guess what? He immediately was healed. It was like his fever went away. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's a greater encounter. That is glory to glory to glory. That's that ever increasing glory. Maybe God gives you a supernatural gift. Maybe He gives you knowledge. Maybe He gives you wisdom. But there's all these gifts of the Spirit. How great is that? That now you aren't just living for God, but He's living in you. It's glorious. It's wonderful. And it never needs to stop. You hear me? It never needs to stop. It just needs to keep going and going. God never stops giving you greater. He never stops. It's always an ever-increasing glory. He is the God of greater. Look at somebody, say, God of greater. He's the God of greater. One day, that spirit we were talking about, working through you, one day that spirit, it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. One day that spirit is going to operate in your body and you are going to rise from the dead. Does that sound like greater? Does that sound like something you want? That's something God wants to give you. But you have to keep walking. It would be a stupid shame to just stop at faith. Keep walking. Keep going. Your life after Christ, remember, is supposed to be better than your life before Christ, because he is bringing an ever-increasing glory into your life. This God of greater does good things, but then he follows them up with greater things. In Genesis chapter 1, on the sixth day, God creates man and woman, and he declares that it is very good. God created Adam, and he is good, all right? And he is a living being, right? Never happened like this before. There's Adam. He is a living being with a soul and everything. Paul tells it like this, 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, Adam, became a living being. So there you got Adam, and he's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? Adam's creation, as good as, we wouldn't be talking about life, much less a good life, without Adam, without what God did there. It's a great thing. God, of course, is the source of life, but this physical life that we experience right now, it started in Adam and flowed through Adam. As good as Adam is, as good as the gift of life is, I'm glad to tell you, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. Here's the rest of 1 Corinthians 15:45. Paul says, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The first Adam was a living being. The last Adam was a life-giving spirit. See, Jesus is greater. Adam is just alive. He's just some cellular energy that's working, and it produces another life right there. But Jesus is more than just cellular energy. He is spirit, Holy Spirit energy, and he gives life to you. He gives life to everyone. He gives that life. You want the good life? You better look to Jesus, because he is the life giver. Now, Jesus is the last Adam. He's a greater prototype or template than Adam was. He's an improvement. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Adam never fell. Adam fell, but Jesus never did. Adam died and is still in the grave. Jesus rose from the grave. We could go on and on. He's a greater prototype and template. Jesus isn't just a living being that can spawn another physical being. He's greater than that. He makes you fully alive. That's what we've been talking about in Genesis, in John 10:10. That he gives that life, that good life from the good shepherd, and you live it to the full. He is the one that gives that good, full life. Sometimes people make the mistake of calling Jesus the second Adam. Maybe you've heard that before. You got the first Adam, you got the second Adam. I want to point out that Paul calls him the last Adam. And that's a big difference, because if Paul called him the second Adam, then we might be asking, well, do we need a third Adam? But let me tell you, you don't need a third Adam. You had a first Adam, and then you had a last Adam. He once and for all covers all the sins of humanity. He once and for all delivers Adam and all of his lineage. That's us. That's the last Adam. How important is it that he's the last Adam? Wouldn't it really stink? Wouldn't it kind of be silly of God if he had a plan that now needs to be redone again for the third time? No, let's send another Jesus. Well, we need to send a third Adam. It would be silly. Jesus, he is the last Adam. Whatever you need in life, why are you looking anywhere else? He's the finality of all your answers, of everything you need. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the redemption of Adam and all of his seed. The first Adam was good, but the last Adam was greater. And we see this pattern of good and greater continue all throughout the Bible. I don't have time to hardly even scratch the surface of it, but we're going to touch a few things right here. Jesus goes to a wedding party. He and his disciples were invited to a wedding party, so they go to the wedding party. And guess what? The wedding party is running out of wine. Somebody went to Sunday school. Good job. All right, John chapter 2, verse 3. Mary, Jesus' mom, goes to Jesus and says they have no more wine. Now, this is an interesting response. You need to learn something about Jesus right here. John 2:4, he says, why do you involve me? My time has not come. Sure, Jesus can do something about this, but he has bigger things to handle right now, like saving the world. It's kind of a big deal. The time for him to reveal his divine deity has not yet come. So why are you asking me, he says. I want to point out something. He doesn't say he won't fix the situation. It's kind of a tricky response. Why are you asking me? He doesn't say he won't do something to fix the situation. But let me tell you, he didn't say he wouldn't. He didn't say he wouldn't, right? Mary recognizes this and says to nearby servants, John 2:5, do whatever he tells you, all right? Now, can I preach to somebody for just a second? Will you just listen up and wake up and be with me? You have some things that you've been crying about. You have some things you've been worrying about. You things that you've been praying over. You don't even know if God hears you because you haven't heard from him that he's going to fix it. You've been waiting for that voice or that feeling or whatever that says, I'm going to fix this for you. And so you've lost all hope. There have been people that lost all hope, lost complete trust in God because they didn't hear a response like they wanted to hear. That's one of the biggest problems in prayer. We pray with the response that we want already in mind. And God very rarely gives you the response you have in your mind because he always seems to give you greater. Okay, you haven't felt the Spirit. You came to church for an entire month, and you know what? They didn't say one time from the pulpit something that you needed to hear, that you haven't heard from God. You came down to this altar, and you didn't feel those goosebumps or whatever it is. You haven't heard, though, that he won't do it. You haven't heard him say, I'm going to do that, but I'm here to tell you, God hasn't told you he won't. Remember, you're serving a God greater. Have faith. Have faith like Mary and get ready to do whatever he tells you to do. Why don't you just start, instead of saying, God, where are you? You're not talking to me. Why don't you start getting ready? Why don't you start getting ready? Why don't you start worshiping like you're ready? Why don't you come to an altar like you're ready? Why don't you change your life like you're ready? Why don't you do that? You see, you're in a great situation. You're in a great situation. I want to tell somebody this because you that sounds polar opposite to what you're seeing right now. But you're in a great situation because no matter what the landscape of your life looks like right now, greater is about to happen. I'm at a funeral today. No matter where you are in life, greater is about to happen. The doctor says you got cancer. I'm telling you, that is awful. I'm not putting that down as small, but I'm telling you, you serve a God of greater, and greater from this situation is yours. On and on, whatever you need, greater is there for you. Greater is about to happen because Jesus is about to happen. He's not dead. He's on the scene. And Mary knew greater was in the house. Do you know that greater is in the house right now? If you've been in church for a while, you probably know what happens in the story. If you haven't been in church, listen up. I'm going to tell you. This is Jesus' first miracle. He tells the servants to fill jars with water. And he tells them to go take those jars and go up to tables where people have their wine glass. They're going to hold up their wine glass and you just start pouring it in the wine glasses. Now, can you imagine how flipped out those servants were when they poured over the vessel, the jar, and wine came out? Because that's what Jesus did. Water came in, but greater came out. Water came in, wine came out. Greater things happen. Can you imagine the servant's eyes? Because the people there, they don't even know any difference. They just ask him for wine. I'm supposed to get wine. They would have been freaked out if water came out. But the servants had to be like, oh my gosh. They're looking at each other like, what in the world? That's what Jesus does. And when he does that for you, you're looking around like, what in the world too? In fact, it wasn't just any wine. It was greater wine according to the wedding guests who were on site. John chapter 2, verse 10. This is a wedding guest. This is his testimonial of the wine. Everyone brings out the choice wine first. The good stuff they bring out first. And then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. See, Jesus' wine wasn't just on par with the previous wine. It was greater. Whatever your life is right now, God has greater. Usually the best wine served at the start, but God, Jesus is greater. We serve a God of greater. Your first birth was pretty good, right? I don't hardly remember it, but let me tell you, other people do. People cried when you were born. Good cries, too. Good cries. Oh, my gosh. They smiled and took your picture at your first birth. They celebrated your first birth. In fact, every year from the day you were born, they celebrated it again. Your first birth was a big deal. But do you know what's greater? Your second birth. That's what Jesus says in John 3:7. He says, you must be born again. If you don't know what all that means, please come talk to us. Text our anonymous text line. We want to talk to you about it. If you haven't been born again, I have to tell you that it is greater. In fact, it is greater than anything else you've ever experienced. When you are born again, all your sins are washed away. You are given the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, you walk into a new life. If you don't like the old life, get a load of the new good life that comes from the good shepherd. You are born again, you walk into that. And that new life, not even death can take that life away. You are going to live forever. You can yawn at that if you want, but you don't want to die. If there was fire here and there was fire everywhere and we couldn't get out, I would probably be the chief one. I'd be like, I don't want to die. But you would too. You don't want to die. I just told you, you are going to live forever. He's got a life for you that no one can snuff out. That, my friends, is greater. That's the second birth. Yeah. You must be born again. And guess what? When you're born again, just like they celebrated the first time, they celebrate when you're born again. Luke 15:7 says this, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. When you're born again, all of heaven throws a party. All of heaven rejoices. Angels get happy over you. Why? Because it's not a big deal? No, because it's a huge deal. Because it's something greater than they have ever seen. Get that in your head. They're in heaven. You think heaven would be the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Wrong. The greatest thing that could ever happen to you might have already happened to you when you were born again. We serve a God of greater. I've said that a lot. Do you get it yet? When you're living the good life, greater is always in front of you. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. Do you realize how much greater the Holy Spirit is? Wouldn't it be great if we had Jesus standing up right here, right now, like right beside me? In fact, I'd hand him the handheld and let him go. That's what I would do. Wouldn't that be great if Jesus was standing right beside you or sitting right beside you right now? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be something you would want? In fact, wouldn't it be so much easier to pray if Jesus was standing right beside you? Wouldn't it be easier to pray? You'd be like, Jesus, I've messed up this week and there's some things I need. And wouldn't that be easier? Yeah, it would. Wouldn't it be easier to witness? It'd be a whole lot easier. You'd be like, hey, Jesus, come over here. Hey, Paul, this Jesus. You just witness. Wouldn't it be easier to witness if Jesus was standing right beside you? Can I get a yes? It would be so cool if Jesus was standing right next to us. In fact, if Jesus was standing right next to us, we would put up posters and we'd put up billboards. And everybody coming here and everybody, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. He's standing right beside Pastor Fluid. I'm like, yeah, we're tight. I'm such a white boy. We would love to have Jesus standing right beside us. I'd love it. I'm looking forward to the day where I see him face to face and I get to talk to him. I'm looking forward to the day. I'm a hugger. I like to hug. I want to hug Jesus. I can't wait for that day. But as good as it would be for Christ to be standing here, I'm going to tell you about something greater. It is greater to have the Holy Spirit than to have Jesus standing right beside you. I've got scripture for it. It's real simple. It's straight from Jesus. Check out what Jesus said in John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will be doing even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, verse 13. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth is that counselor. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He's talking to his disciples. You know this guy. You know this counselor that's coming, for he lives with you and will be in you. All right? He's with you right now, but he's going to be in you. And verse 18, I, who is the I here? Who is the I here? It's absolutely Jesus. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Well, first of all, who is Jesus talking about? It's like he's talking about himself. He's talking about the Father at one point. He's talking about the Holy Spirit at one point. But he says some really interesting stuff. He says that I am with you. You have seen this counselor. When did they see this counselor? They're seeing him right now when he's talking to him. Because the Holy Spirit isn't like some third God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus living inside you. Not in physical form, in spiritual form. And let me tell you, it is greater. Jesus himself said it was greater. He said, because of this, you're going to do greater things than all I have done. Jesus did some pretty greater things, right? He says, because of the Holy Spirit, you will do greater things than all that he has done. And that's the Holy Spirit living in you. As good as Jesus walking the earth would be, he tells us the Holy Spirit living in you is better, because the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ living inside all of us. And Jesus now can be everywhere. We don't have to drag physical Jesus everywhere. Come to Starbucks. Let's go. And let's come over here. No, you go to Starbucks and Jesus is at Starbucks because you are at Starbucks. And there's a problem in your house. But guess what? Jesus has now arrived because you're there and you brought him there. And guess what? You got a sick friend in the hospital. Why don't you bring Jesus right there by walking in the doors and praying and letting the Holy Spirit move through you? That is greater. Are you living this way? Because that's the good life Jesus has for believers. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you need to get excited about what I'm talking about, because it is for you. God has got it for you. And let me tell you, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you ought to get excited every time you hear somebody talk about it, because you know it's a greater thing in your life and it's a greater thing for whoever receives it. God has something greater for you, and you can receive that today. You can have an Acts chapter 2 experience today. That's the first place where the Holy Spirit is poured out and people receive it. And you could leave this place saying, I felt something that I'd never felt before in my life. That could happen today. Not because this sermon is so killer. No, it's not. Not because of that. Not because the praise band sounded great today and I thought they sounded good. Not because of that. But because Jesus is here and His Holy Spirit is here, and He's all the greater you've been looking for in life. I got something greater than the promotion you've been looking for at your job. I got something greater for you than to find a girlfriend. I got something greater for you than all those things. It's Jesus. We're going to be closing really soon. I want to tell you that we do three things. Remind you that we do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Everybody worships, and we did that today. Thank you for worshiping with us. Number two, we've received the Word of God today. I've preached the Word of God. I've done my dead level best to just bring you the Word of God, and you've received that today. And now number three, everybody talks to God. We're about to do the third thing right now, but first, it's just hit me so strongly this week. I wish I could preach to Joseph. Not Mary's Joseph, not Mary's spouse Joseph, but Joseph, Old Testament. I wish I could preach to Joseph when his brothers betrayed him because of their jealousy. I wish I could go and preach this sermon to him right when that happened. I wish I could preach him this sermon when he was in the pit, because they threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. I wish I could preach to him right there from the pit. I wish I could preach to him when they sold him into slavery and they put the chains on him, and he saw all of his freedom go away, and his homeland is going off in the distance. I wish I could preach to him when people said, "You're worth only this much money, Joseph." I wish I could preach to him when Potiphar's wife lied about him and ruined his reputation. And where did he end up? He ended up in dungeon. He ended up in jail, in the dark dungeon of Egypt. I wish I could preach to him there. I wish I could preach to him and when it was cold and darkness were the only two senses he had. Maybe hunger, a third. Joseph, I wish I could preach to you when the cupbearer that you interpreted his dream and you said, "Hey, remember me when you go talk to Pharaoh. Remember me." And then years passed. You never heard back from that cupbearer. I wish I could preach to you, Joseph, right then and right there. He forgot his promise, and you forgot, like you felt like everybody had forgotten about you. Your brothers, your mother, your father, everybody. Oh, I wish I could preach to you, Joseph. I'd say, "Joseph." Oh yeah, I'd yell it. I'd say, "Joseph." I'd get indignant. I would shake Joseph. I'd do it. I'd say, "Joseph, you are still your father's favorite son. And you are not forgotten. And you are not lost. And greater is ahead of you. The best in life is not behind you, Joseph, but greater is in front of you. Your father in heaven, the God of greater, is here right now with you, Joseph. You've not been alone one moment." I can't preach to Joseph until they invent a time machine. I cannot preach to Joseph, but I can preach to somebody here today. Are there any Josephs in the room? Is there anybody that's going through stuff? Anybody in this place feel forgotten? Anybody in this place feel like they were betrayed? Like somebody lied to them and about them? And now everybody, it's like ruined their reputation. And where you're thinking the best is behind you, that relationship you lost, it's gone. And now your life is ruined. You lost that job and now it's over. Your health is gone. And now the best of your life is just over. Is that you? Well, then I can preach to you. I would shake you and I would shout to you right now, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Believe it with all of my heart. Listen to me. I would not be here if I didn't think greater was in front of me. I wouldn't serve a God who told me the greater is behind you. I wouldn't seek out a religion where my Savior is dead. But Jesus, He has greater in front of you. Do you want to step into that greater today? Do you want to get out of that jail cell with the Lord today? Do you want that? These altars are open right now for you. They're open right now for you. Come receive greater. He's got greater.
Thank you for
joining
us.
More abundantly above all you can ask.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.